This episode has been brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief.
Welcome back to The Last Storm. My name is Mark, and I'm back with Dave, and we're here to talk about the Thunder. We've got three games coming up against East teams. We really want to focus on the Hornets, the Cavs, and the Bulls.
Yeah, we also have Indiana Pacers there, so that's four East teams. And I'm really excited about the fact that these are the teams that are fun to watch right now in the East. Obviously, you got Charlotte, fast break, up and down, great pace to their games. Cleveland, which we just saw them a couple days ago, the great big men that they have, young big men. Chicago, the surprise of the NBA at this moment. And then, of course, Indiana, who everybody's saying, ooh, what's going to happen with Indiana? Obviously, we all know what happens when we play against Sabonis. He's a great player, and he gets to play in Oklahoma City, who's the team that drafted him. So this is going to be just a really fun tour of the East against the East teams. I always enjoy playing against the East because those are the memories that I have as a child against East teams. So this will be fun to be able to go down memory lane here.
Yeah, so we start out with the Hornets and then the Cavs. So that's a Friday, Saturday back-to-back. Then we have one day off before we play the Bulls on Monday. And then we have a few days off before we play the Pacers on Friday. We haven't had many days off in this stretch. It's been game day, day off, game day, day off, for probably like 2 weeks now. So I know we're looking forward to that break, but before we get there, we've got two games in a row. We haven't really played the Hornets, so I'm not exactly sure what we can expect from them. We've seen them play a few times. We played them last year, and obviously they're talented, they're young, and they're out to compete right now. We just got done playing the Cavs, and we know what they can do. Got a lot of respect for Darius Garland, and really their whole team looks pretty good considering where they were the last few years. So that's what we got to do first. Dave, what do you think?
Yeah, we've got some tough challenges, no doubt about that, coming up. We definitely had a tough challenge against San Antonio last night. I have to say is I hate losing, but I enjoy going back and watching games that our young players play just unbelievable. Obviously, Aaron Wiggins made it very clear early in the game that he was going to do whatever it takes to score. I love this mentality with Aaron Wiggins. We need a player like him. Mark and I were talking the other day, and I was showing him a draft order of where they think that if you were going to redraft this NBA class, where each player would go. Aaron Wiggins is climbing up that list very quickly. The last thing I saw was something around 15 or 17 if he got redrafted, which is crazy to me because this is a young man out of all the players that we drafted, I wouldn't have said that this is going to be this biggest surprise. I just can't say enough about Aaron Wiggins and the way he plays. I love his mentality. I love the way that he commands the ball, the way that he commands the defense, all these things that he's way better at than we thought he was. And the fact is he's getting recognition right now because if he's in that teen group right now with this great class, then obviously he's doing something right. And he's going to keep on climbing, especially with a 19-point game last night, 8 rebounds, assist and a steal, so and a block. He's on the next level as far as rookies go right now. Yes, he's 21, so he's a little bit old over rookie for us. But, man, what he's bringing to the table right now is truly spectacular.
Absolutely. He's one of those guys I talk about a lot where when the play breaks down, you want him out there. You want him to be out there diving on the ground for the loose ball. He's not just going to get to the ball first. He's going to make sure that the team retains possession. He'll start a fast break. He'll find the open man at the basket. He just does the right thing at the right time, and he's so consistent about his effort that you know what you're going to get from that end. Offensively, he's shown potential, and he's shown games that he can do what he did last night, but in the NBA, it's all about consistency. But the reason I have a lot of hope about that is because he does all the right things the right way. So he's out there. It's not like, I don't know if you remember back when we had the Hornets, we used to watch J.R. Smith play a lot. And he would go on these streaks where he'd have a ton of points, and you'd be like, man, this guy looks like he could be the next D. Wade or Michael Jordan or something. This guy is so good. But then he would have a long stretches where he didn't do anything. And Aaron Wiggins is kind of like the opposite of that. It's like he'll still go through those stretches where he doesn't do anything, but when he plays really good, you're like, wow, this guy could be a tremendous role player. And the fact is, when he plays within himself, then he's got the ability to be special. And Jarris Smith, I always felt like he could do that too, like, but he had trouble doing that, and that was kind of like the hallmark of his career. I'll just drop the whole Jarris Smith comparison at this point, because to me, Aaron Wiggins has shown an incredible capacity to find not just the open man and not just be able to make the right play, but he can knock down the open shot. And as far as like scoring from the mid-range, he's already shown a really high aptitude for doing that. He can finish at the basket, and he's more athletic than we thought. So there's a lot of things to really, really like about Aaron Wiggins right now.
Yeah, and I absolutely am always pissed off, but it's kind of humorous to me in the same sense as those people that are the other Oklahoma City Thunder podcast guys that are always like, hey, let's trade Lu Dort because Aaron Wiggins is playing so good. We don't need Lu Dort. You know, it's like the whole concept of, you know, when there's a one-headed dragon, you know, everybody's like, ooh, that's a one-headed dragon. That's pretty cool. But when you have an opportunity to have a two-headed dragon, something that just crashes everybody and just destroys things, obviously you want an opportunity to have that. The funny thing about it is that not everybody sees this as a bonus or as a positivity. They look at it as a negative, like, oh, well, you can't have Dort and Wiggins playing on the same court at the same time. Well, last night, to me, it showed you what they could do together. 34 points together. Dort had 15 points, 3-for-6 on three-pointers. But if you see how they play together and they and the flow of offense and the way that they were able to move around and help each other, like, this is the future of this team. There is no forward. There is no shooting guard. There is no point guard. Yes, you're going to have players that handle the ball more than others, but there is no guy that is going to be single-handedly going to be a forward. Look at Aaron Wiggins is listed as a forward. Lu Dort's listed as a forward because people don't know how to label these Oklahoma City guys. They play everywhere. They play small forward, power forward, shooting guard. They switch to every single position and they still play at a high level. So when you have people that are saying, oh, you cannot have Lu Dort and Aaron Wiggins on the same team, guess what? You can. It just makes you scarier than what other people realize. And that's why this team is so phenomenal to watch, is because there's so many different layers to this team. You can peel back a small layer and be like, oh, that's cool. Look at Aaron Wiggins. He can do all these things. He's a rookie. Oh, look at what Aaron Wiggins and Lu Dort can do together. Oh, look at what Josh Giddey, Aaron Wiggins, and Lu Dort can do together. Again, you're breaking down in so many different layers. When people say, hey, let's trade this player so that we can be better here, you know they know jack shit. Because if we could seriously do that, Sam Presti would have done it. Sam Presti isn't trying to trade players that have a legit possibility to play on this team long term. He trades players that don't have that opportunity. We saw that with Moses Brown. We saw that with so many other players throughout that have come and gone quickly. This is what Oklahoma City Thunder is very good at, is recognizing the players that are going to help them become a better team and getting rid of the players that won't. And I think that's a phenomenal way of looking at it. And I think with the Oklahoma City Thunder is when people say, hey, let's trade this guy to get this guy, like, just hold the reins back for a second, because you have to recognize Sam Presti is in the long game business. He's not in the short game business. He wants to be able to compete for a long term. And in able to do that, you have to keep some of these guys when the value is what we consider low right now, and wait until they mature a little bit longer or older and they're trying to get a bigger contract and we can't afford, then you trade at a higher level like that. We've seen Sam Presti do it in the past, and that is how we continuously get these draft picks and continue to reboot every single time. Sam Presti is going to make the moves that is best for this Oklahoma City Thunder team. So when you hear people say, hey, let's trade this player, just hold, you know, again, tell them to shut the fuck up and move on.
Yeah, I mean, anytime people talk about trading any one of our young core players, and to me, you know, that who those guys are, it's still an expanding list, but, you know, at the core, you kind of know who they are. If we drafted them, you know, if they're first year, second year, third year players, we're probably having long-term plans, and we don't really need to go out of our way to decide what they're going to look like in a few years. Sometimes it takes players a little bit longer, but if they don't live up to the plans that, you know, coach or Sam Presti have, then that'll become apparent over time, but we don't need to, you know, guess who that's going to be. But if you look at a player like Dort, I mean, he's gotten better every single year. And in my mind, if you can start out being at the level of defensive player he is and then already develop an offensive player, offensive game, the level that he has, you know, he's got all the ingredients to be great. You know, I listened to all the opposing announcers talk, and, you know, one thing I hear a lot of them talk about is he's a student of the game. And you understand, like, if you have a player who's that, then you've got a special, unique individual. It's something that takes to be a great player is to be a student of the game. Yeah, and I think, in my mind, Lu Dort has all the ingredients to be a Hall of Famer. We've got to get this team to the level where he can achieve accolades like that. They're not just given to people who, you know, are struggling to win 20, 30 games in a year. You have to lead your team to championships. You have to lead your team to, you know, greatness. And Lu Dort wants to be a part of that. SGA wants to be a part of that. Clearly, our rookies are all in on that. So we're going to be seeing us get a few, you know, new rookies coming in. Obviously, our first-round pick is looking pretty good. The Clippers' first-round pick, that's looking pretty good. We don't know where those will fall. You know, obviously, some people are looking at that 1-5 range again. We're, you know, more content anywhere, you know, in the top 10 would be great. That'd be, you know, exceeding our expectations. Give us two picks like 7-9 range and, you know, figure out what Sam Presti does with that. It would be pretty amazing. But I love the idea of thinking about that. But right now, the team is out there and they're balling, and we're hoping that they beat the Hornets and the Cavs coming up. And that's what we want to focus on because, yeah, I mean, the future is bright and all these picks make it even brighter. But this is not like, okay, we have 1 year where we have a bunch of picks and after that it starts dropping off. Like, we get this for like the foreseeable future. So in every way, as excited as we are about that, we're more excited about watching players like Théo Maledon go down there to the G League and put up like a 28-7-5 game. You know, you love seeing stuff like that from our young players because we want him buying in. Eventually, he's going to get a chance to be back out there with the Thunder again. And man, I'm excited about that. But this team, we have so much depth, we have so much youth, and we're so committed to developing each and every player and seeing how far they can go. And that's what makes me so excited.
And that's what Mark and I focus on here is we focus on knowing the organization. I think that's the key right there. I think it's the understanding of where they're trying to go, where they've gone in the past. There's a lot of people out there that will say, you know, Sam Presti's looking for an extraordinarily amazing team. And this is not an extraordinary team. But the reality is that this is. You can't just click your fingers and say championship caliber team. Boom, there you guys go. That's not how it works. It's about building. It's about taking the time to build a team properly. And sometimes that takes longer than other times. And other times you can click your fingers because you pick up an insane draft class and then all of a sudden you're in there as far as talking about it being in the playoffs. But the reality is that Sam Presti understands that having a depth on your team and using your G League as a JV team to help these guys stay in shape is key for the longevity of this Oklahoma City Thunder team. Because if you can be moving guys in and out and helping them out into that G League, this is exactly how these guys stay confident and move on. Théo Maledon is one of those guys for me that I look at him, I could say, man, this guy could be a starter in the NBA. And the reality, though, is where can he be? I have no idea, but at this moment, he has trouble fitting in on the team and being in that spot that he needs to be. But guess what? That's because we have so many guards right now. If the fact that we didn't have so many guards like we didn't have last year, he would be getting more playing time. But where do you plug him in at this point with all these guys that are coming out of nowhere, with Aaron Wiggins playing well, Jeremiah Robinson playing well, Trey Mann doing amazing things? Like, these guys are deserving the playing time. So you look at these guys that had huge impact on our team last year, like Isaiah Roby, Théo, Ty, these guys that played a ton aren't getting that much playing time. So when we look at the draft class for next year, that's what we were saying is, which of these guys on this team or maybe this draft class that aren't going to get as much playing time because of next year? And that's why I keep on going back to it, is because I don't think that this is a normal draft class for us. I think that these four guys are going to be a major part of this team for the foreseeable future. That doesn't mean that last year players aren't going to be great, but this year's players are so much better than last year's core of players that came from the draft. It's really impressive. And then on top of that, in 2022, this year, guys, are going to be fun to watch too, because again, Mark said it best. We get to replenish every single couple of years, these guys. We'll trade guys. We have guys going out. We have guys coming in. And we have a lot of space to be able to work with. So I'm pretty excited about this, Mark. I know there's a lot of people out there that's doubting the Oklahoma City Thunder because we lost to the San Antonio Spurs, or, you know, we're on this four-game losing streak, or we lost 8 of the last 10, or, you know, whatever the excuse is. To me, it's about where this team's trying to go. We're not out of the playoff conversation yet. We're 4 games back, and we have a shit ton of games to go, so I'm not worried about that. We want to get playoff experience. That doesn't mean you make the playoffs. It means that you have playoff-like games at the end of the season, and that's what we need for this team.
Yeah, I mean, and sometimes, like, the best way you can learn is just going out and getting your butt kicked by a team like the Spurs, who have, you know, incredible offensive systems, and they have really great coaching and, you know, really disciplined players. So it's not always what we want. We want to win the games, but understanding that this is a part of the growth process. And like you said, we've been going through a difficult part of the schedule, but we found a way to compete in a lot of games, and that's really important. And how are we going to fit everybody together? Well, think about our last few draft classes, right? Starting out, you've got your you got your Bazley and Dort draft class. That's, you know, a couple of years ago. Then you got your Poku and Teo draft class. They also included Vic Krejci, but we haven't seen him play that much, so we'll just focus on those two guys. And then you've got our most recent draft class, where you've got Giddey, JRE, Trey Mann, and Aaron Wiggins. Now, if you think about what we've been able to do with those, you know, 8 players, it's been pretty incredible. That it's not usual that you can find, you know, consistent role player level players late in the draft, late in the first round, in the second round. You know, it's something that you have to consider. We've been able to do at a very high level, and I'm not sure how long each one of those guys will be with us. I know some of the guys like Poku and Teo, they were incredibly young, and, you know, their trajectory is going to be different than some of the guys that played a couple years in college basketball like we picked this year. But watching, you know, this team continue to mesh has been incredible. The guy that I'm incredibly excited about right now is Trey Mann. I mean, this guy has all the tools. He's got the shiftiness. And when you listen to the other team's announcers during the games, you always hear them talk about Trey Mann. He's incredibly good. Like, we just have to sit back and recognize that this guy has a chance to be great. And I don't know how it's going to happen, like when we're going to see it. But I do know that at this point, people understand his talent level. Let's give him a year, you know, of working out in the offseason. But when we get to see him go out there and play, when he's really prepared for the NBA level of competitiveness and pace of the game, it's going to be special. I mean, he's picking it up as he goes. He's getting more playing time than players usually do at his age. And all he's done is impressed. So I'm excited to see what he does next.
Yeah, man, you're absolutely right. And again, with Trey Mann, watching him as a young player and watching this whole group, like I said a second ago, it's about the future. And we watched this last year. You know, there was a couple players Mark and I were really excited about. They were getting some playing time. But I think that's in general what the Oklahoma City Thunder does, is they like to see these guys play that get 10-day contracts or whatever to see if they actually have a true fit on this team. These young players are the same exact way. So when they give them extra room and they go out there and score a lot, they do amazing things, you know, the Oklahoma City Thunder are going to go back and say some things like, hey, next year this guy's going to do this, or next year this guy's going to do this. And it's about the trajectory and where they believe they're going to go. Obviously, there's sometimes you see a player like JRE that comes in and really takes over Isaiah Roby's position. We had unbelievable feelings about Isaiah Roby last year. We felt like he was going to have a long career in the NBA because we felt like he was a perfect fit for this Oklahoma City Thunder team. But here comes JRE, early in the season, I recognized it. I said JRE is a different level than Isaiah Roby. But you don't see that until these guys are playing and you're seeing practice or you're seeing these guys playing games. You're starting to recognize the maturity level in some of these guys. And you're saying this guy's at a different level than this guy. And when that happens, there's a different playing. We saw it happen with Darius Baisley. You know, Aaron Wiggins pretty much put Darius Baisley on the bench. And you're seeing that. It's you're like, oh, wait a second. Aaron Wiggins plays guard, but Baisley plays power forward position. You're right. But guess what? That's not what the Oklahoma City Thunder's about. They're not about the positional basketball. That's not how they play. They're like, you know what? We'll match up how we match up. And that's what makes me excited. It's so untraditional of the NBA to have teams that are trying to match up against you or trying to run big guys, three or four big guys in the game at one time, trying to outbig you. And it's exciting to me. It's exciting to see how this Oklahoma City Thunder takes it on the chin, learns how to develop the guys, they get better, and then they move on from there. This is a perfect opportunity and a perfect moment for us all to sit back, take a deep breath, and realize that this is a long-term goal. This is not short-term. If we were going short-term, we would have traded all of our draft assets. We would have traded some of these other guys that we have, and we would have tried to get better players. That's not what we're trying to do. We're trying to build this from the ground up, and that takes time sometimes. Obviously, we're not going to have every game to be a phenomenal game or where we score 135 points or 137 points, whatever. We're going to have hard games. We're going to have a hard game like we did against San Antonio where you're like, shit, this kind of stings. Where, you know, we shoot, what, like 8 for 31 or 8 for something like that on three-pointers and 20-something percent from there. Like, that's not a fluid game for us. And I think that's what's exciting is that now that we're seeing, we're starting to get more critical because we know what this team can do. We understand what this team is capable of doing. Yes, it's not always happening game to game, but three or four quarters consistently it's happening. And I think that's what's exciting is young team understanding where they're at. We're top half in the NBA on defense. We're top half in the NBA on turnovers. Like, we are doing an unbelievable job at taking care of the ball, playing defense, holding teams to a limited fast break points. And I think that's what is so impressive is this team is so young. So when you talk about progression and through the years, in 2 or 3 years, if this is just a normal progression of a young team getting better where all these guys have a chance to develop, these stats are going to be in the top of the NBA. And it's going to look like the Oklahoma City Thunder rigged the fucking system. And that's what's so awesome to me. That's why I get excited. That's why we're consistently on here talking about the Oklahoma City Thunder is because there's something in the water. It's completely different than we've seen ever before. And we are so jacked that we get to go on this ride with you guys.
Yeah, man. And we're so young and we're so competitive at the same time. And it's not supposed to be like that. Let's talk about our last six games. We lost to the Nuggets by 4. We lost to the Wizards by 4. We beat the Nets by 21. We lost to the Cavs by 5. We lost to the Mavericks by 2. And then we lost to the Spurs, okay? And that was a big loss. But those close losses are really important. That's what you can build all of your development on. And obviously, the goal is to win. So you're going to take time and you're going to put it together. But getting in these close game situations, doing it at home, doing it away, that's what's going to really pump your team up. That's what's going to give them what they need. And we've said it before and we'll say it again. Anytime that you have SGA out there, it's not a tanking season. Anytime he's out there, our goal is to win every game that we can. Does it mean we're going to win all of them? Hell no. But it means that we're going to go out there and do our best. And even when he's not out there, you know, every player who goes out there to play is playing their butt off. They're playing to win. And anything that happens as far as, you know, positioning yourself to maximize draft potential, that always takes place at a management level. It never happens from the coaching. It never happens from the players. And that's one of the things that we love so much about the Thunder is they go out there and they play to win every game. Even when they're down by 20 or 30 points, they understand if they can get on a run, they can turn things around. And we've seen it happen before. We've seen it happen, you know, when Russ was out there with Chris Paul. And now with SGA taking every lesson he can to try to put the team on his back and lead them to victory every game. So we're looking forward to it. We love back-to-back games. So We hope that you'll join us after each one. Thanks again, and we'll see you tomorrow. And as always, this episode is brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief.